Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The resolution is adopted without objection. The motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
We take no joy in having to move down this road and proceed with the impeachment inquiry, but neither do we shrink from it.
If, after a fair and thorough inquiry, the allegations against President Trump are found to be true, they would represent a profound offense against the Constitution and against the people of this country.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I doubt anybody in this place or anybody that you know comes to Congress to take the oath of office, comes to Congress to impeach the President of the United States.
I am not running for anything except the impeachment of Trump.
On the impeachment of Donald Trump, would you vote yes or no?
I would vote yes. I would vote to impeach.
Because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
Hey! Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
What we're seeing among Democrats on the Intelligence Committee down in the SCIF right now is like a cult.
Maybe you know what a zombie is.
The zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Unchained and unstoppable.
Then here's my challenge to Mr. Schiff. You want to be Ken Starr? Be Ken Starr. Come to the Judiciary Committee, be the first witness, and take every question asked of you. Starting with your own involvement with the whistleblower.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. Happy Halloween. Where's Grace? All I see is Melania Trump. What are you doing here?
Thank you for
having me. Is there a hurricane? I know the weather's bad. Has there been a hurricane? Are you here to give us relief? Where's the FEMA handouts that we expect?
Thank you for having me, Mr. Carr.
What do you think, folks? What do you think of Grace's Halloween costume
it
here?
It is an honor to be here today. My accent is...
Oh, your accent's not bad, actually.
Really? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, I obviously am Melania, for all of you who are probably wondering. And I'm thrilled to be here. And it's time for Grace's News. I really spent most of my day prepping this look, but I did print out some news stories.
Someone says, is Grace dressed up as Carmen Sandiego?
Okay, so I've been getting a lot of Carmen. And first of all, the trench is a thing that she wears often when she's boarding her private jets, etc., Air Force One. And I have a beautiful two-piece jumpsuit thing on right now. So for all the haters out there who are coming for me saying, you were amping up this costume and now you're just wearing a coat and a hat. I'm not spending money on Halloween, okay?
This and is shades. All... And shades.
Yeah, these are the mailroom managers. These are all
You're basically
together.
Getting, on the text line, these are the instant reviews. Yeah. They're pretty good, basically.
Oh, really?
You can text 63566, text Howie to 63566 if you're a new texter, and just check it out. Well done, Grace. You look awesome. Nice, Grace. Is Melania in the studio, et cetera.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay, so let's get to the news. Veteran journalist Catherine Herridge joined CBS News as a senior investigative correspondent. This was a big story today. Obviously, she was at Fox for a really long time. Kind of disappointing.
Since the start.
Yeah, people are kind of bummed out that she's leaving and going to CBS. But I guess this happened before the Shep Smith exit. So it's not like it wasn't anything like that. She'd been planning this for a while. Her contract expired.
Right. And she was negotiating with him, and I guess CBS gave her a better deal. And, you know, and she's got a family, I think. They were working her around the clock. Sometimes she would have to work at like 9 or 10 o'clock, and she would have to run down there and, chase idiots like Adam Schiff through the halls. And that's, it gets kind of old after a while, I'm sure.
Oh, I totally agree. And she's very, very talented. She's very poised. She'll be great at CBS. But I will, and I agree with you, Howie. If the money is good enough, I would go anywhere. But the only place I would never go for the money is The View. Like, I get when people like...
She's on CBS. I'll never see her again.
I know.
Will you?
Well, do you have a dentist appointment coming up soon?
That's when I read Time magazine.
Oh, right. No, but
By the way, my dentist is Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles, and I don't want to insult him by saying he still subscribes to. Most dentists have also let their subscriptions lapse.
They're hip to
the
groove.
They waited it a little longer than most of the rest of us.
Well, speaking of the fake news, they actually, for once, all of the fake news networks broke a huge piece of investigative journalism yesterday.
I know.
It was a massive story. This was akin to Watergate. I don't know how they figured this out, but wow.
I'm surprised it wasn't included in the resolution this morning that the House voted on.
The photo that Donald Trump, the president, my husband, tweeted out putting a Medal of Honor around the dog Conan, who was involved.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
And truly, a beautiful canine. That photo was photoshopped. So for anyone out there, I know, Taylor, I'm sorry to break this to you.
That looks so real.
I thought, and the thing was, he was putting a Medal of Honor on a guy, and he was in exactly the same position, and his head was turned the exact same way, and then the dog picture came out 2 minutes later. Who could have ever figured out that was a photoshopped?
I could have sworn I've seen that in history books, that picture.
No, so this is a serious PSA. If you saw that photo and you did not realize it was photoshopped, I am worried about you, and I think you need help because the medal...
Somebody said it was despicable what Donald Trump had done.
The medal had a paw on it, like a giant paw. And the dog like looked like a cutout. It's just... It blows the mind. I mean... I understand, you know, when things get photoshopped and it's like, wait a second, is that real? Like with celebrities, if
you know,
they photoshop,
the old style,
whatever.
You know, the old style phones when they had all the little buttons, the buttons would light up as you know, when you got the calls. Trump hits the tweet button and all of a sudden, what's her name? Stephanie Graham, the White House press secretary. All of a sudden, every phone line is lighting up. Is that a real photo? We've busted you now. We know that's not a real photograph.
Kat Timpf. She's from Greg Gutfeld's show. She tweeted today, you know, I was a real Trump supporter. I supported him so much. I thought he was so great. But it all came to an end today when I realized that he photoshopped this picture of the dog and now I will be voting for Elizabeth Warren. In other words, like, who are you? Whose mind are you changing? People love. Okay. And here's my last point, Howie, on this. Everything that Donald Trump does, the left's automatic knee-jerk reaction is wrong, bad, orange man bad, we have to hate it. Fine. But now he's making you defend the following. He's making you defend terrorists, call them austere religious scholars. And now you're turning against adorable dogs who are patriots. So think about your list of things.
Well, did you see what Biden tweeted out yesterday? Yesterday, for those of you who didn't know, was National Cat Day.
My wife was very aware.
I'm not kidding. National Cat Day.
So
Biden tweets out, or Biden's people tweet out, because he's certainly not capable of it. He says, can you imagine, this is the first president in a century that doesn't have a pet in the White House. When I am elected president in 1988, 1990, whatever the year is, I will have a pet in the White House. And I thought to myself when I read that, Obama had a pet in the White House, a pet rock. His name was Joe Biden. So,
Obama had a dog in the White House, and it didn't really help him that much.
Yeah, and when you saw the dog, you just said, "Man, that dog—that's a nice looking dog. Is that going to be dinner tonight?"
That dog lived in fear the whole time he was there.
That dog was much more frightened than Seamus Romney's dog ever was about going back up on the roof of the car after a ride to Michigan.
So they figured out that the image was photoshopped and they were tweeting it all out. It was actually a story on Twitter, like, you know, New York Times figures out through the photo.
Did anybody do a story when Hillary Clinton tweeted out a fake letter, a parody letter from JFK to Premier Khrushchev during the Cuban Missile Crisis? It's supposed to be a take on Trump's letter to the Ukrainian prime minister?
Yeah.
You know what, Taylor? I think that was literally within hours of her calling Tulsi Gabbard a Russian asset. So that kind of got washed over from that news story. But I agree with you. It's ridiculous. But I mean, I'll say it again. Now there are four terrorists against heroic dogs. Like, good luck with that. Dogs are pretty much a crowd pleaser all around.
There's another breaking story today out of Syria. Al-Baghdadi has stopped smoking.
Good for him. See, anyone can do it. You know, you just set your mind to it. It's an addiction of the mind.
The rain helped him stop smoking, too, by the way.
By the way, guys, today is Halloween. It's a great day to get on the Chump line. Make sure you call 844-500-4242. Press 2 to get your message on the Chump line. And if it doesn't get on the regular Chump line, it might get on Chop Chumps that we have on our podcast. So call in. Leave us your best stuff.
844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Havel, Massachusetts.
This is Murnie in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
It's Screamin' Jay, Mr. Hawkins.
I put a spell on you.
Listen to that horn.
Because you're mine.
Oh, baby, it's Halloween, October 31st. Did you know on average a burglary happens once every 23 seconds in the U.S.? That's why Simply Safe's video verification technology helps police get to your home up to 3.5 times faster. Get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee at simplysafehowie.com, simplysafehowie.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
What's your favorite Halloween song? Monster Mash, Thriller, Haunted House by Gene Simmons, I Put a Spell on You by Screaming Jay Hawkins, Werewolves of London, or Spooky?
Haunted House by Gene Simmons.
I like the Monster Mash.
All right. So I think Howie has been rigging this poll question because Haunted House inexplicably has jumped from 2% to 22%.
That's because people like that word haint. You don't hear that word haint very often. Ain't no haint gonna run me off.
32.
Those are words. That's what I feel is a deplorable. Ain't no haint gonna run the president off either. I'll tell you that.
Monster Mash is still in the lead with 32%. Haunted House is second with 22%, followed by Werewolves of London with 21% of the vote.
Gene Simmons, by the way, of Kiss, his name is an homage to the original Gene Simmons. He only had one top 40 hit, believe it or not. And that was it, Haunted House.
You're very interesting. Lots of random facts.
Yes.
How old are you?
I looked it up, Melania, on Wikipedia last night.
Okay,
I know the song, but I didn't know about the Gene Simmons connection till last night.
All right, guys. So more Grace's news, but before I get to it, I want to remind everyone my podcast, My Conversation with Grace with Mayor Marty Walsh, is dropping tomorrow. I'm very excited. I want everyone to check it out. It's brought to you, as always, by Matthews Brothers. That's also the sponsor of the studio. So we will have that posted. And also check out the latest Dirty Rats, St. Patrick's Day Breakfast. That is up today as well.
Yeah, it worked out. It was a good podcast, I think, as well.
Yes, my dad wanted to give his compliments. He said you managed to get a lot of hacks into this one.
I knew that it would get a big thumbs up from the South Boston contingent.
Yes, indeed. All right, so I want Taylor's take on this specifically. I thought this was an interesting story. Angry wedding guests complain couple's sunrise beach ceremony is too early. A bride-to-be and her fiancé are facing backlash for planning a sunrise beach wedding at 5:30 a.m.
That is pretty early. That is very early.
The anonymous future bride took to Reddit to share her wedding drama story after guests demanded she move her ceremony to a normal time. She said, "Every year on our anniversary, my fiancé and I wake up early to go to the beach and watch the sunrise together. It's a very special tradition." And the symbolism of watching...
You think they want a little privacy when they're engaging in this wonderful tradition.
We've been getting a lot of backlash from our families about this, who say this is way too early and we need to move the ceremony. But my fiancé and I don't feel like we're asking for anything that unreasonable. I mean, it kind of depends. Like, If I'll come that early, but I'm not bringing a gift. That's my swap off. Like, I'll come that early, but then
you bringing a couple of nips? Like Governor Weld to the St. Patrick's Day breakfast?
Oh, wee little ones, indeed. I'll be bringing up some Bloody Mary mix with me. It's just weird. People are getting so over the top with trying to make their weddings unique.
But you know, the thing is, these beach weddings, there have been two or three instances in the last year where people have come down from one of those beachcomber bars, you know, further down the beach, and they just stagger in drunk, and they start breaking up the thing. I mean, it's kind of risky, isn't it, to be doing a wedding in a public place, especially on a beach?
It's very risky. I've said this once. I'll say it a million times. Doors are your friend. There's a reason we have walls and doors, and it's to keep, you know, the kooky drunk guy out of your wedding. Maybe he crashes later, but you don't need him there during the ceremony. That's when the real stuff is happening.
Taylor, someone points out on the text line, we missed Ghostbusters.
It's not that good a song.
No, I think it's a great song.
How does that one go?
Who are you going to call? Who are you going to call Ghostbusters?
No, it's a terrible song.
It's a great song.
Now Howie's going to want it so bad.
No.
Add it to the list.
That wedding is just going to be the photographer's worst nightmare. Trying to get good lighting. You're only going to be able to get it from one side. And then shadows are a big thing. It's going to be a mess.
Also, I kind of feel like sunrises are a little overrated. Like, if you like it that much, YouTube it.
Okay. Go one day without one, Grace. 603, it works out.
603 says Tinian Beach is a great beach for an early wedding, especially if the ghost of Polly McGonagall, who used to be buried there, shows up.
But it's like, then what do you do? Are you going to have...
Just in time for Halloween.
Are you going to have, like, a breakfast after? Like, scrambled eggs? This just sounds awful. I don't need to see anybody that early in the morning. Anyway, moving on to more important news. The two Democrats who voted no... on the impeachment
was one of
inquiry.
Them Jared Golden from the 2nd Congressional District of Maine. They were saying he was undecided. How did he vote?
No. He definitely voted yes, because there was only two. And
remember
they were...
that. Remember that 2nd Congressional District of Maine.
There was two Democrats who voted no, and there was one independent who voted yes. I don't know who that was, though.
That was probably Amash, that guy from Michigan that left the Republican Party, I would guess.
Oh, yeah, and then ever since he's gotten berated at town halls, people are livid.
Right. He's not. I don't think he's running for re-election. He's retiring due to ill health. The voters in Michigan are very sick of him.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Flake also suffered from that terrible disease.
Right, Katie Hill is now afflicted with that malady, too.
Katie Hill has turned this whole thing into, and I don't know
She's
whether it's justified, but now they're saying it's like revenge porn and this or that, which I guess is true. Like, no one should be leaking photos. But if you really want to prevent revenge porn, you just can't take those kind of photos with a bong in your hand and a weird tattoo. I'm not defending revenge. It's awful that the guy put it out there, but...
There's worse than that, too, Grace. You've seen it.
I have. Because I didn't want to be peddled by papers and blogs and websites used by shameless operatives for the dirtiest gutter politics that I've ever seen, and the right-wing media to drive clicks and expand their audience by distributing intimate photos of me taken without my knowledge, let alone my consent,
taken
for the
without
sexual
her knowledge?
Entertainment of millions.
Taken without her knowledge? She's not smart enough to be a congresswoman, then. We'll be right back with Victor Davis Hanson. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Victor Davis Hanson has been on a real hot streak writing lately. He's from California, and he's not fiddling. He's writing as California burns, and it is literally burning and figuratively burning as well. It's not just on fire. The economy is fading. It's the homeless are everywhere. The infrastructure is crumbling, et cetera, et cetera. I thought this was a good day to get him on. He's got a great column again today. Democrats have turned California into a problem-plagued burning nightmare. Victor Davis Hanson, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thank you for having me, Howie.
You know, I sometimes think that one reason the impeachment inquiry, so-called, is going on in Washington, D.C. is to distract the nation's eyes from what's happening in some of these Democrat-controlled states. New York, they nixed new natural gas pipelines. Now they're running short of natural gas, and they're blaming the natural gas companies. Maryland, the sanctuary county of Montgomery, is experiencing an illegal alien rape crisis. And in California, of course, the largest state of all, has these terrible problems. And these are all Democrat-controlled, totally enclaves. And I don't think the Pelosi's and the rest of them want us looking at what's going on in these Democrat-controlled areas.
Yeah, they don't. And the three most powerful politicians in California are Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, and Dianne Feinstein. They're all hard left. They're all multimillionaires, and they all live right next to each other, basically in the San Francisco area. And their ideologies, which they're never subject to, because they have the leverage and the money and the clout to immunize themselves from. But boy, when you look at what the state has done to PG&E, the power company that said
Pacific
you have these green mandates.
Yeah,
you have these green mandates. And by the way, you have to have these lifeline. And by the way, you can't shut power off if people don't pay your bills. They're in bankruptcy. So they don't have the capital to fix these archaic grid lines that go through this very expensive areas in the California coastal foothills that everybody wants to live in. And when you add that to the fact that gas just topped out on the coast at about $5 a gallon because of
wow.
the gas taxes. And then they just diverted 66 million of it to high-speed rail down here in Fresno, where it's kind of moribund. And the 99 freeway is the most deadly per mile driven in the United States. And yet they won't widen. It's only four lanes, two each way. It's a death trap. When you add the homeless, we've got half the nation's homeless. I was in San Francisco Monday, and I thought, you know, let me just get up at 4 in the morning and walk around the city and see how they deal with this. And they have these tanker trucks with high-pressure hoses, and they got these crews with, they look like chemical suits, and they're just going down the
hazmat
boulevards. Yeah, blasting it so I was wondering when I flew in, we circled around San Francisco, and I see this brown effluent. It's out in the bay.
Oh.
And this is a very ecologically sensitive area. And I thought, well, where does this stuff go? They say it goes into the sewer system, but it's feces, it's vomit, it's food, it's syringes. They're just blasting it all into the storm drain. And I thought, this is not even a tenable situation. And then you couldn't really see because there was so much smoke from the fires, and then there was big signs everywhere that the red and green stoplights were out. So the traffic was a mess. And I have two people that work for me at Stanford University, and they haven't come in 3 days. They have no power. I mean, think about 2 million people in the Bay Area, in the Bay Area foothill area, that have no electricity. So I started saying to myself, when I went to Cairo or I went to Baghdad, that's sort of how I feel now when I go to San Francisco. I don't know whether the power is going to be on. I don't know if there's going to be excrement in the streets. It's got the highest per capita crime rate in the United States for property crimes. I don't take my car there because it'll get broken in. And if it's less damage than $950, it's a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
It's no more than 950. It's a misdemeanor. So why call the policeman?
Yeah.
So
and
it's a
progressive
meltdown.
You know, and the thing is, Victor Davis Hanson, doesn't the state have mandates for, a certain number of electric vehicles have to be sold or a certain percentage? So, you know, they mandate electric vehicles, and then now they've instituted these regulations that ensure there's no electricity. So how the hell are you supposed to charge your Tesla or your Prius that they want you to drive around in?
I don't know, but I know that people, even I spoke in San Francisco to a group, and even the progressive people feel they've reached the logical limits of progressivism. As one guy said to me, you know, we used to spend a third of the budget on infrastructure, and it's down to 7 or 8% because we're having so many problems acculturating. 30 years, 10 million people came illegally across the southern border. And when you add the legal costs, the law enforcement costs, the educational costs, the housing costs, the medical costs, that's that's over a third of the budget, and infrastructure is down to about 7 or 8%,
yeah,
where the state but doubled its population with the same infrastructure.
And I guess PG&E has to, there are all these state mandates that they have to provide all these free electrical services and invest in solar and wind.
Do.
So they don't have, even if they were allowed to clear cut the deadwood and the brush around the power lines, they wouldn't have the money to do so. And other parts of the country, like Florida, for instance, are burying more and more of their power lines underground so that they don't have to worry about things like fires or hurricanes. There's PG&E has no money to do that, right?
And it's worse than that. Yeah, it's worse than that, Howie, because they have no money, but they're the largest public-private utility in the United States, and they have the highest kilowatt charges anybody except in Hawaii. It's up well over 20 cents a kilowatt. So it's double the average that we pay elsewhere. So we pay double the price for electricity, and then we have a wonderful nuclear plant over at San Luis Obispo that has provided cheap, clean, and safe energy, and they're shutting that down. And so we know that the irony is that they spiked the electricity so high that so many people in the Central Valley, to take one place where it's very sunny and there's no fog and it's hot, they put in solar panels, and yet they have to use the grid. But when you put in solar panels, you put enough of them, you don't pay any power. But then the overhead of plugging into the grids is borne by PG&E. So the state says, well, you have to encourage solar panels. And once you do it, that guy's off the PG&E gravy train, but he doesn't pay anything for the maintenance of the grid system that he uses at night.
Wow. You saw this story, but I think most people probably didn't see it. Jerry Brown, the former governor, was before Congress on Tuesday, and he said that Donald Trump and the Republican Party are responsible for the fires because of their opposition to drastic climate change policies. These fires have nothing to do with climate change, do they, Victor Davis Hanson?
No, they have one direct the consequences. We had two terrible droughts in the last 5 years, and over 10 million trees died, not counting the oaks and the underbrush. These were conifers in both the Coast Ranges and the Sierra, and we were not allowed to harvest them or clean them out at a level that was necessary. In fact, we had the Sierra Club telling us that when they decay and they fall over, they're a rich environment ecosystem for beetles and bugs, and
for
the bird population would increase. Yeah. So we didn't clean. You just fly over the Sierras, and it's just brown. You go over the Coast Range, it's just brown forest. And a lot of these butted up against these archaic, high-powered lines, and when the wind comes up, as it always does, it's not because of global warming.
Right.
But we always have these October late winds, and when they came up, they snapped some of these old lines, and then they fell on this dead drought underbrush and dead trees, and it just lit up. And then because the population's 41 million and not 16 million, and the infrastructure hasn't changed, you had all these people who are living there now that used to be vacant, and they don't have access roads, they don't have reliable water all the things that we used to do with the California Water Project, the great road system. So it's hard to get in. It's hard to get out. It's hard to know if we have enough water to fight these fires.
And on his way out the door, Governor Brown, who's now blaming Trump and the Republicans for all these problems, he changed a lot of the regulations, didn't he? Or he signed off on the changes just to try to avoid this catastrophe of...
In 2016?
Yeah.
In 2016, he forbid even the left-wing legislature that has a supermajority in both houses, and we don't have one Republican national state office holder, he still forbid. They wanted to harvest the dead trees, and he stopped it. And so we couldn't do that.
So if it's climate change, Victor Davis Hanson, that's causing this problem, why aren't these problems in, say, Nevada or Oregon?
Yeah, I don't know why, because while we had two drought of the last five, we've also had two of the heaviest rainfall and snowpacks in California history. And 2 years ago, and then last year was above normal, and 4 years ago it was above normal. So for all their talk about we're never going to see snow in the Sierras again, it's been very wet. But the problem is how 80% of that went out to the Sierra because they forbid storage or transfers to farmers because they were worried about reintroducing salmon to the San Joaquin River that hadn't been there in 100 years. So $50,000 a salmon.
When does the insurrection start, Victor Davis Hanson?
I think it's starting. I think that people in I work near Silicon Valley, and you talk to those people, and they say, well, we can't run Facebook or Google if we don't have power. And when we have people in the street that are defecating and they're living in their cars all around Tony, Menlo Park, Palo Alto, Sunnyvale, we don't like it anymore. And so I think they feel that with all the money and power they have, they're not able to insulate themselves anymore from the disaster they helped create.
What a surprise, huh?
Yeah.
History has caught up with them. It always does, doesn't it? You know?
And it does. Finally gets to even the revolutionaries are eaten by the revolution. That's what's happening in California.
Yeah, I certainly hope. I hope you don't lose your electricity, because I love reading your columns, Victor Davis Hanson. You're smiling through the apocalypse, I should say. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, I'm out in Fresno County where I live. It's out in the middle of nowhere. But one thing about it is it's not near any dry mountains, and the people are a little bit more practical, and they're not. You know, in our little small towns, are mostly people from Mexico, but they don't defecate on the sidewalks, and they're not worried about transgendered restrooms or banning plastic straws as some kind of psychological virtue signal for the misdemeanor you can address, but you can't do anything about the felony of high prices for gas and electricity. It's crazy.
How do they feel about light rail, your neighbors?
Well, it's here, you know. They decide we were going to be the guinea pig, so they built it over Fresno. So it's like Stonehenge. You see this half-built thing that sticks over the skyline, and now they're saying it's going to be, you can get to Merced to Bakersfield twice as quick as by the regular rail, twice as quick as driving. There won't be one person that takes it. It's a boondoggle. It ate up $10 billion.
Wow. And then they're angry at Trump because he cut off the spigot from Washington, D.C. And they're suing him, I think. Yeah, right?
And right next to it, we have three different corridors. We have the 99 corridor that everybody drives, but it doesn't even have six lanes, the death trap. And then we have the Amtrak corridor with trains stopping because they only have one track that go on the sidetrack while the other one goes by. And then you have the middle of it is high-speed rail that took money from both transportation systems and just failed. And
it's too bad these stories can't get any national attention, because we're so focused on a phone call between the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine, you know, for 30 minutes. And we have the transcript, but those, we have to talk about it around the clock. Victor Davis Hanson.
But it is the same mindset.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, Howard.
Hey, Victor Davis Hanson, always a pleasure, and thanks for coming on to fill us in, the rest of us don't live in the Golden State, as it was once known. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Another good spooky song, not technically about Halloween. Warren Zevon. His father worked for Mickey Cohen, one of the big gangsters out in L.A. before L.A. went downhill, shall we say. 844-500-4242. Glad we could have Victor Davis Hanson on. We'll tweet out the story, Democrats have turned California into a problem-plagued burning nightmare. He also had another great column earlier this week, our bankrupt nomenclatura, meaning the ruling elite, how the ruling elite has destroyed everything. I may read some of that later on, but I just wanted to let everybody know who's not in California. I mean, obviously you can't escape this if you live in the Golden State or anywhere on the West Coast, even though the same problems aren't, like I say, plaguing Oregon or Nevada. But this is, I mean, they've turned that state into a basket case. That was the, they called that. It was called the Golden State for a reason, and not because everybody was peeing on the sidewalk, like the that's the reason it's the Golden State. Now it's, I mean, it's a joke. But they've destroyed that state. Holman Jenkins had a great column about it. We'll get to that later on. By the way, we have one more day of our special Whitey Bulger's. It's first anniversary yesterday of his brutal murder in the West Virginia prison. The gangster, the Boston gangster serial killer. Here's my book. We have a special commemoration. My book, Rat Man, about the trial and conviction and murder of Whitey Bulger, and our T-shirt, Dirty Rats T-shirt. It's a commemorating our podcast, which is you can get wherever you get your podcast, Dirty Rats. This is a $30 value, the autographed book and the T-shirt, a $30 value for just $19.99 right now. And while supplies last, they're almost gone, but we're going to do it. We're going to do the special for one more day. Go to HowieCarShow.com.
And we just released the newest episode of That's right. Dirty Rats.
HowieCarShow.com. Click on store. You can get the book about the trial and the Dirty Rats T-shirt for $19.99, a $30 value. And check out our podcast. We have this one is about the annual St. Patrick's Day breakfast in South Boston run by Whitey Bulger's brother, the Senate president, and all the hacks and crooks and slimy people who showed up at that St. Patrick's Day breakfast on statewide TV. I'm Howie Carr.